From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
Welcome into ABQ Connect. Jim Williams with you, hosting this afternoon, and I appreciate you being with us. We've got a tough subject today. Frequent guest on our program is Desiree Woodland. She's the president emeritus of Breaking the Silence New Mexico. She and her husband, Gary, have two children, Michelle and Ryan. After the loss of their 24-year-old son, Ryan, she wrote a book called I Still Believe. Desiree retired from her 19-year teaching career in the Albuquerque and Rio Rancho public schools to co-create a curriculum for schools called Talking Mental Health. We're also joined in studio by Pastor Gary Villa. He is the interim associate teacher with Refuge Church, and he's part to the New Mexico Suicide Prevention Faith Community Workshop. And then I want to introduce Gavi Fleck. She conducts training for Operation Be Kind. She is a retired member of the military and a Christian chaplain. We just appreciate y'all being here. But suicide's a tough subject. And mental health in general has been tough. You guys, all three of you, are working to make it not so tough a topic to talk about. So if you have young ears that are near the radio today, this may not be the ideal conversation that you want them listening to. But I hope that it encourages especially parents and relatives of people that are challenged. And if you yourself are facing some mental illness considerations, things that you don't maybe even know about, I hope you'll be encouraged today. That's really the purpose about talking about all of this. I'm going to start with you, Desiree, and ask you about what is the need for mental health training and why is it so pressing now? And I'm kind of directing that toward our churches. People in leadership really need this training, don't they?
Oh, for sure. There's just been a history of not being able to talk about mental health conditions. And I think basically it is because we don't have an understanding. We haven't had the education and we haven't really viewed people with mental illness through the eyes of Christ and how Jesus would minister to people. I thought with your permission, it would be okay if I could just go ahead and get a definition of what a mental illness or a mental health condition is.
Absolutely.
It's an illness of the brain, just as diabetes is an illness of the pancreas. It's not a weakness. It's not a lack of faith, but they're disorders that affect someone's thoughts, behaviors, and ability to relate to others. Each individual is affected differently, even with the same diagnosis, can experience few symptoms or persistent lifelong symptoms. The impact can range from mild to severe and affects 1 in 4 people. And you mentioned at another time some of those mental illnesses, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, depression, which is more than sadness, anxiety. So those are some that some people might be familiar with, but it is certainly nothing to be ashamed about and not often talked about in church, which is why we want to start making that conversation happen.
Well, and I should go to Gary now because Gary is an interim associate teacher with Refuge Church. He's done some pastoring. And Gary, I think some people in the church think that what you guys are talking about is somehow extra-biblical or unbiblical, and that's really not the case, is it?
No, not at all. And thank you so much for having this conversation. I think, you know, when we come to a place like in the book of Romans and Paul's telling the church how to be the church, and he says something like, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. There's no boundaries for that. There's no limit to that. It can be financial. It can be logistical. But also it can just be being present to somebody else in the place where they feel that burden, whatever that burden is. And so it's bringing the real condition of your life into the light so that you can live in community, but that you can also bring these things into the light of Jesus, and maybe you're healed. And that would be, you know, thanks be to God if that happens. Mm. Or maybe you learn to live with faith through that condition for the rest of your life till the kingdom comes. But we want to be faithful.
Amen.
Why this topic is so pressing now, I'm going to give you an outside perspective. Not knowing a lot of this information, really, really anxious to hear from you guys today. Is it so pressing now because sometimes in churches, pastors, well-intentioned, other lay leaders will give counsel, biblical counsel to people, but maybe not recognize the medical condition. Desiree, I talked about your 19-year teaching career. Are there teachers that, if they had some training, might recognize these kinds of mental health concerns in their students and maybe headed off at the pass a little earlier? Is that why it's so pressing now to do this?
Yes, that's definitely one of the reasons. And in addition to training for teachers, we also train the students so that they can watch out for one another and that they can talk about their feelings, their emotions, and work through some of those things with their peers, because we know that kids often, when they're struggling, they reach out to their peers. So my perfect vision of a school would be that every teacher, every employee, every student had training so that people could talk about it no matter who they were talking to. There was the same understanding of how to give somebody some help.
We're going to talk more about training available, so I want to go to Gavi now and ask you about, what is Operation Be Kind?
Okay, Operation Be Kind was launched last year, but as a volunteer chaplain with the Albuquerque Regional Chaplain Corps, one of the things that we really try to focus on is crisis intervention. And one of the reasons is God is the greatest crisis interventionist known to mankind, and so why not model after him? And so the whole premise behind Think 3-2-1 does have a little bit of a military influence. It's think three Charlies, two mnemonics, one solution, to de-escalate someone in crisis to a level of safety. And so the idea of crisis, when it comes to stress and distress, can lead to dysfunction. And so as believers, we have the opportunity to intervene, but we also have the power to intercede. And so when we see a person who is suffering emotionally, mentally, psychologically, even physically, we can be the one to intercede and intervene in their lives. And so Operation Be Kind is actually a refresher courses from the initial workshop, Think 3-2-1. Think 3-2-1 is a 3-hour workshop to kind of introduce the foundation of crisis intervention, to really examples of resiliency, but the refresher courses are levels of crisis that are in areas of recovery as well as referral. So we know that suicide is not conventional. It is very complex. And because of the complexity of suicide, I always kind of share with the folks that attend my training, suicide is a people problem. And so people are not the problem. But because we understand that there is an emotional and spiritual connection that's necessary, the crisis intervention strategy is really to reduce suicide ideation to levels of safety.
Okay, now you use the word ideation. Sorry, I'm not smart enough to know what that is. You've used a couple of things. You've talked about de-escalating. So again, me being a lay person in this area, I'm thinking that it takes a great deal of emotion. I know sometimes when people take their own lives, there's drugs involved, there's alcohol. It's almost like they're trying to reduce the pain before it happens. And you're really talking about recognizing this in a person and de-escalating or bringing down those emotions? Is that?
Operation Be Kind is really mnemonics that stand, each one of those letters stand for dialogue communication techniques to help someone who is in a level of distress, even to a place of dysfunction, to find grounding. And so when you begin to learn the letters, you find that they're not like rungs on a ladder, but they're like a dance step. B stands for be empathetic, which is the very first thing that anyone should do when you're dealing with a person in crisis. And D is to develop a plan. And so all of the letters in between are really areas that can help you to take a person who is in a crisis mode to a place of safety. And so these are things that the Lord showed me 4 years ago. I was in the Air Force, active in resiliency tactical pause, and with my instructional design background, The Lord just ministered to me and said, you need to build me a curriculum. You need to build me a 3-hour workshop and something that people can be energized and refreshed to say, you know, I can help someone in their place of crisis. And so Think 3-2-1 is biblically founded through Scripture. And so the Operation Be Kind refresher courses are also, they also have a biblical perspective. We know that the Bible is filled with examples to follow and examples not to follow. And so there are many, many examples in Scripture that help us understand what it means to be emotionally and spiritually connected.
Now, there's some Operation Be Kind courses offered now. These are the refresher courses.
Yes.
And I might just, I'm going to run through these a couple times. There was already one on March 9th. There's March 18th, July 20th, September 21st, November 9th, and then maybe another meeting in December. You mentioned the Think 3-2-1 Crisis Intervention Strategy Workshop. When will that be offered?
So we just had one on March 9th.
Oh, okay.
The next one is going to be in September, which is actually Mental Health Awareness Month.
Oh, okay.
And so,
so that's the September 21st date.
Right. And so the last year we actually addressed the topic of mental health illness and disorders. This year our topic is going to be on spiritual resilience. Spiritual resilience is defined as the ability to sustain an individual's sense of purpose and mission through a set of beliefs, principles, or values. And as a trainer, I'm also the trainer for the VOAD team, which is the volunteer organizations active in disaster. And so we do address levels of safety, which is resiliency, recovery, and referral. Operation Be Kind this year is looking at the spectrum of resilience from a biblical perspective, exercising the fruits and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, who actually helps us maintain resiliency within the whole body concept, the physical, the mental, emotional, psychological, and spiritual. So when we do promote health to ourselves and to others, we actually increase healing in our own lives.
Mm. Yeah, isn't that the way it works always?
Isn't that right? I was just going to say that Gabby really speaks to how important it is to educate the church on mental health awareness, just as it is with breaking the silence, that everybody can make a difference and can have a conversation with someone who is struggling with a mental health disorder, which is why we want everyone to be educated. And how that guide came about for faith communities as well.
What we're going to do in the second 15 minutes, second segment of today's interview, we're going to have you all the way till 2 o'clock. You guys are kind to spend the whole hour with us. But there's a lot to unpack here. But what we're going to do in the second 15 minutes is talk about somehow there's a stigma attached to talking about mental health. And we're going to talk really about that and why that is. And I would say that there are people facing mental health challenges. I should say, and I should, probably should have said this at the beginning, you've provided me with words we can use in the church to talk about mental illness and suicide and what words are harmful. So Jim Williams is famous for using harmful words. I hope I'm not as bad as some of our politicians, but that is a whole different subject. What I want to do today is I want you to call me on the carpet. Last time we had you on, Gary... I made a statement, and Gary was very kind and gracious. And then it was nice to have a phone call from a listener that called us at 505-338-5790 to chime in on the error that I made. And what I had done is I had referred to I did not refer to mental illness as a medical illness. I'd referred it to it another way, which is part of the stigma that's attached to all of this. So in our second segment today, we're gonna focus on that and what the stigma is, because I want people, I guarantee you right now there are parents, there are relatives of people who have people they love dearly that are facing these kinds of issues. And Desiree, when you said plan, have a plan moving forward, I know they're all wanting to listen and go, man, I got to come up with a plan. That's exactly what I need. So we can't cover all the details in this hour, but we can point you in some direction to some additional resources, to some training. We'll give these dates as to the Think 1-3-2-1 workshop and the refresher courses that are going to be offered here this year. So we'll say those things. Make sure you have a pencil and paper handy. We'll give you some websites a little bit later. So stay with us on ABQ Connect. We're talking about suicide prevention. And we're also needing you to know that the people that we have in the studio today have been there and done that. And Desiree is going to share a little bit about the loss of her son, Ryan, which I think is very courageous. So we have a lot to cover. I hope you'll be encouraged, and we'll be right back here on ABQ Connect. Jim Williams in studio today on ABQ Connect with Desiree Woodland, Gary Villa, and Gavi. Gavi conducts training for Operation Be Kind and the Think 3-2-1 workshops, which we're going to talk about some additional training and things. And we're talking about mental health today, and we're talking about suicide prevention, very difficult for a lot of people emotionally. But you're really, the whole object, I think, of shows like this are to make it so it's not so difficult to talk about. So I'm going to start with, and I don't know which one of you want to answer the question, but what is the stigma attached to mental health?
That's a really important question, and I don't think there's probably just one answer to it. I think it's important to note that we live kind of with a generational inheritance in this matter. My grandfather, for instance, one of the stories from my family is that my grandmother had some depression. And in his time, he could actually just have her committed to a mental health facility against her will because of what she was experiencing. That creates this body of shame around any kind of depression or mental illness, and a fear that if you admit you have it, you will be separated from the community. You know, you fast forward through my parents' generation to my own generation, I was raised in a religious tradition that actually taught that if you were depressed, it was the result of some unconfessed sin in your life. Mm-hmm. And that's a harmful, harmful stigma to attach to someone who is—
And by the way, not healing. Biblical.
No, not remotely biblical. Mm-hmm. And thank you for pointing that out. But if you're afraid that if you state how you actually are feeling, thinking, experiencing the world, you're going to be separated from the community— that's going to put a stigma and a sense of shame on something that is unnecessary and part of, I think, the wicked one's strategy. If we can divide, we can break, and that will continue to erode people's lives. I love the way Kurt Thompson, he's a writer, author, he has a podcast of his own. He speaks about shame being answered when you don't leave the room when somebody else confesses something to you. When somebody else puts on the table who they actually are, and you don't leave the room, this is how we answer shame. So the stigma is one thing. Addressing the stigma is when we are no longer embarrassed to be in the presence of someone who confesses to us that they have this condition, this mental health, whatever, and we're not scandalized by it. We're going to meet them where they are.
The interesting thing to me is if we confess who we really are, which includes confessing sin, confessing attitudes, whatever it might be, but also confessing a medical condition.
Oh, absolutely.
God always uses that, always, without exception, to strengthen other people. And then that ends up encouraging us.
For sure. And I can't even love you if I don't know who you are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I can't help, as we're talking about this, is addressed to Desiree, and maybe we're going to be bringing up something that we had planned for a little bit later in the show, but you are a survivor of suicide. Your son Ryan took his life.
Yeah.
And it's been now 18 years. He was 24 years old. You went through everything with your church and praying with your son and loving him. And I guess what I'd need to do is ask you now, what would you say to Ryan now? Would it be different than what you did say to him?
It would be totally different than what I did say to him.
And then, you know, I'd love Gavi and Gary to both chime in about, you know, maybe you have anecdotes or stories about situations that you've heard of, because Desiree, your whole purpose and your whole ministry has been to try to train people because you didn't know.
Right. And I think, you know, when we look at the context of faith, that's one issue that, you know, if Ryan were sitting here I have this feeling that we would have been able to make it through the experience that he had. First of all, I would have taken him seriously instead of just trying to pray his struggles away. I mean, he struggled for years, and we didn't know what it was because I didn't think that Christians could get depression. Mm. I didn't think that it affected us. I would just, you know, I just couldn't figure out what was going on with him. So first of all, I would have listened. And Gary mentioned something about having attention and paying attention to someone to really know them. And that's so important. And secondly, then, I would have taken him for, actually, thinking about listening, he might have opened up about his suicidal feelings, right? Mm-hmm. That's what programs like what Gavi does, try to get people to talk about it and bring it out into the open so that you can help someone. Because if you don't know what they're struggling with, you don't know what's going on, then you can't help. But if you don't even believe that those things are real, that was the first roadblock. And then I would encourage him to get counseling, because at that time, I did not believe that Christians needed to have counseling. I thought that just praying for him was enough. And so, honestly, my son struggled for many years without any of the help that he needed. He tried to get his own help. He tried to use Google and try to figure out what was going on with him. He didn't understand either. And so I would have also then
Would it be true that he might have had the same beliefs you had?
You know, it's possible.
I guess I see, if he did, that maybe there was a lot of self-condemnation involved.
Oh, for sure. He felt weak. He felt like he was a mouse in this gigantic world, that he was on a roller, you know, the mouse that's going around and around and around and not being able to do anything with his life. Because he at one time had aspirations to be an engineer. And, you know, he was baptized. I'm thinking back to this beautiful time in somebody's swimming pool when he was a little kid, being baptized and loving the Lord, you know. So he loved God. He just didn't know how to find him. He actually left in his notebooks, he said, "I know God is there. I just can't find him." And I think often with untreated mental illness, that's what happens. It separates people from one another and from God. And so consequently, because he felt like there wasn't any more hope, that he had tried everything, that he took his life. And after this, I feel like I learned so much about God's heart for someone who is in such dark pain, that for them, that was the best solution. But there were so many steps along the way. If I had understood, I could have made a difference. And so how important it is for parents to listen to their children, to take them seriously, to validate their feelings, and then take them to a doctor and get them checked. Because if depression goes on for more than several weeks, there could be a real mental illness brewing. And I, like Gary, found out too late that I have genetic reason why this could have happened in my life, but nobody talked about it.
Yeah, but I will say this for people that might be listening and feel much like Ryan did. Ryan was very courageous. He was the opposite of what he might have been thinking, because he fought this for a really long time, because you noticed this when he was pretty young.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, his life ended at 24.
Yes.
He went to be with the Lord. And, you know, that dealing with that has been tough for you. You're very courageous and very thoughtful to share with us now what you went through. So I hope that parents are listening, because that's what this show's about, is to help you to understand, you know, what's going on. And there are some things. We've been talking about Operation Be Kind. There's a refresher course, May 18th. If you haven't taken the course before, the Think 1-2-3 workshop, can you take the refresher?
It's highly recommended to take the initial workshop first.
Okay, so the initial workshop will be available again September 21st.
Exactly.
So if you haven't taken it, if you have taken it, you might want to go to the refresher May 18th, July 20th. Plus, there's a lot more. I'm going to give you some websites right now. Website for Survivors of Suicide Organization is www.sosabq.org. The New Mexico Suicide Prevention Coalition is at www.nms, as in suicide, prevention, P, coalition, so nmspc.org. the Empower Workshop, which that's part of Mercy Multiplied.
Yes.
They are doing a workshop on February 21st through the 22nd of 2025 at New City Church. So, you know, might put that on your calendar. Amazing organization.
May I say something about that conference?
Please.
They're actually bringing those instructors in. But what I love about it, it's a biblical way to apply scripture to all the areas of human struggle and also offering a clinical counseling approach. So it kind of mixes the spiritual with the clinical, which is what we often need when we're struggling.
Well,
medical too.
You guys may not appreciate this, but as we're going through this, I'm thinking, okay, we're not going to just have a show and then wait till September for the reduced suicide ideation Think 3-2-1 workshop. What we're going to do is have you on the air, if you're willing, you know, maybe 6-8 weeks from now. So I'd like to just keep talking about this and maybe even. You know, we got to use this radio station the way God wants us to use it to communicate to people, to encourage them about things that they're dealing with. So you're going to be able to find this on abqconnect.online. There'll be a picture of my three guests and an outline, and you can download the information. That'll be posted within a couple of days. We usually post this to our Facebook page. So this resource, if you haven't heard everything today or you're just joining in late as I always do. I want to listen to something, and I'm always 10 minutes late to listen to it. You can hear the whole broadcast and get all the information that you want. Want to remind everybody that we're with Desiree Woodland. She has been, you know, talking to people that are survivors of suicide. We've already pointed out that she lost her son, 24-year-old Ryan, you know, to taking his own life. She's written a book called I Still Believe. She's come up with a talking mental health curriculum for the Albuquerque Public Schools, and actually public schools around the country. We might talk to you, Desiree, about how you offer that, because you offer that to educators today.
Right. But it's pretty much New Mexico.
It's New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I'll tell you this. If you live in another state and you give us a call, we'll put you in touch with Desiree, because she's probably not going to hoard her resources. She's gonna share with you. And she may know some other resources in your location if you're listening outside of the state. Gabby is, she conducts training for Operation Be Kind. She also does the Think 3-2-1 workshop. She's taught a few of those courses, I understand, at Calvary Church.
Yes, as a VOAD trainer and with the Albuquerque Regional Chaplain Corps, I do teach crisis intervention strategy. And so the Think 3-2-1 is, again, something that is biblically based. However, because kindness is universal, I also have what I call the Esther version.
Yeah.
And so I have been able to teach the Esther version to a group of secular audience, target audience. And so we know that kindness is universal. Everybody understands kindness and the power of kindness. And so it makes good sense to share it with everyone, because I think, in my opinion, everyone should be a crisis interventionist in people's lives.
In our third segment today, after these messages, we're going to talk about what the church can do. And we might pick on the church a little bit, but we're really intending to encourage both clergy and lay leaders. So stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be back after these messages. The topic of mental illness, suicide prevention, emotional topic, at least for all of us in studio, and I'm sure you as listeners, as you're listening today, but I'm hoping that you will be encouraged. Maybe you're the parent of a child that is facing some of the things that Desiree has described about Ryan, and your love is overwhelming and you don't know what to do, and that creates all kinds of emotions. Well, today you can get an idea of what to do. And we're going to try to give you as many resources as we possibly can, so that you can make calls and you can talk to people that have been through it. We don't have subject matter experts in studio that don't know what they're talking about. We have some very highly qualified people. And Desiree, I'm going to have you talk a little bit about Gary and what you know about him, because you've had him now on the show a couple of times.
Yeah, I have. Well, I think I was doing a lot of thinking about, you know, what I've learned these 18 years. And I realized that my heart has been, first of all, was in schools and still there. But then the faith community, this opportunity came up to work with Department of Health and the Coalition to put together a Faith Communities Leader's Guide, which Gary has had a huge part in helping.
Can I tell people that this is a state-sponsored initiative?
Yeah.
But the money went specifically to help address the faith community.
Well, because the faith community is one of the 10 work groups.
Okay, but I think that Christians especially should know, and this is not just Christians, it's people of other faith.
Yes.
That the state actually allocating money to help our community, which I think is a blessing.
Well, you know what? Whatever we've been doing to prevent suicide, we haven't been doing enough, I think. Mm. You know, I mean, everyone is working hard, but if all segments of the society are not involved in helping to prevent suicide, to educate, that's what we're hoping is going to happen with this. We want to reduce suicide in all areas. But as I was putting this together, I was thinking about Pastor Gary. And how I think it was 5 or 6 years ago, Gary, he asked me to have a conversation with him from the pulpit about suicide, about mental illness. And I remember how impactful that was because I had never been recognized in a church to talk about these kinds of taboo subjects. It was something I will never forget, but I think it started a movement. Because there are so many churches that we have visited giving this guide to, providing pastors this guide, and people are open to talk about it. They're open to think about this is something we can actually talk about from the pulpit and educate our community. And so one of the things is inviting people who are living with a mental illness or are survivors of suicide to have that conversation. It was really powerful, and I can't thank Gary enough for that opportunity. But honestly, I think it was a movement because now we have Gavi here. We have a lot of other people who are doing something in the faith community. So thank you, Gary.
I love it. So Gary, here's the big question. What can pastors and lay leaders do to help people struggling with mental illness?
For any of us that are part of a faith community, we know that the most important messages we get are typically on a Sunday morning during that sermon time. We're just kind of trained to pay attention to the sermon in a very specific way. So I think the more pastors and other church leaders can bring this conversation into that space on a Sunday morning, whether it's part of a sermon, whether it's part of a story or a testimony time, whether it's even just part of kind of an extended moment of prayer, naming this very real thing in the room is essential. And it takes the stigma off of the conversation when you see that your pastor isn't afraid of it, when he's not ashamed to mention it in public. And I think one of the other things that is important about this moment, before I was able to let Desiree share her story with the congregation at Hope Church, Desiree shared her story with me. So every time I get up in the pulpit, whatever I'm preaching, I don't just see her face out in the crowd. I see her story represented in the congregation. And it becomes this ongoing conversation in my own heart as I'm preparing to speak to people. So I think if you're out there, you're wondering what you can do. One, ask if your pastor might be willing to give some space in your church service to this conversation at some point in the near future. And he might need to hear your story and why this is important to you to have this conversation brought forward. And if that even feels frightening to you to approach your pastor with that kind of request, you can email me. My name is Gary Villa. It's gary@refugeabq.com is my email, gary@refugeabq.com. And I would be happy to join you, to meet with you and your pastor and just have this conversation about the importance of bringing mental health conversation into Sunday services.
Yeah, I love that offer. Appreciate you doing that very much. I'm going to have Gavi share with us an anecdote that she wanted to share.
Okay. One of the things that I discovered, too, with our chaplaincy training, volunteer organizations active in disaster, is that One of the things that I hear often is the church is the only army that shoots its wounded. And one of the things I really try to do in these trainings is to dispel that, that we're about help, we're about hope, and we're about healing. And so one of the things that came out of the most recent Think 3-2-1 workshop in March was one of our chaplains showed a picture of his certificate of completion for the Think 3-2-1 workshop to his nephew that was in Florida. And openly, he came out and said to his uncle, "I've been having suicidal thoughts, and I need help." So that is, to me, a perfect example where the church is really the place people look to for hope. They look to for help, and they look to for healing. But sometimes we don't know how to help. We don't know how to bring that hope into perspective. And so that's one of the bases for the initial workshop, is to give a good foundation for the concept of Think 3-2-1 and the Be Kind model. As we know, there are many models out there. There's ASSIST, there's QPR, there's ACE, there's SAFER model. There's many models. But one of the things that the Lord ministered to me about 4 years ago is they don't have my model. Mm-hmm. And so the Be Kind model was birthed out of the whole premise that kindness can be transformative, it can be a place of stability, and it can be a place of strength. And so that's basically what we teach in the Think 3-2-1 workshop, is how to de-escalate someone from a place of crisis, even to the most extreme stress, which is suicide ideation, to a place of safety. And suicide ideation is simply just a stage where the thoughts of suicide enter our minds, but it doesn't really activate till it enter our hearts.
Mm. I was just reading through what words can we use in church to talk about mental illness and suicide. It's a little list of things that Desiree put together. Under mental health, the definition is emotional, psychological, and social well-being. But here's the most important part. It's not the absence of mental illness. So there may be all of us, we feel like we're mentally healthy, but there may be that one area, and maybe there's a physical condition, maybe there's an event that's led us to extreme sadness, whatever it might be. God still wants you here, doesn't he?
He does. He absolutely does. He wants, I mean, if Gabby was mentioning all those places to get training, and if people go to that New Mexico Suicide Prevention Coalition website, all of those trainings are listed there. And we're all at different places. It's not just one program. It's not just one way to look at it. It's God uses all of us, and he uses our personalities in the work that we do. So, I think you don't have to have a mental illness to have poor mental health either, right? We all struggle. We all languish or flourish in our lives. So we need pastors who can understand that and accept us where we are, so that we feel, we don't have to wallow in our sadness, but to have somebody listen and acknowledge they must just experienced a loss. Mm. And so we can be kind and love people through that. In our churches.
Let me give those websites again. Survivors of Suicide website is www.sosabq.org. The New Mexico Suicide Prevention Coalition is www.nmspc.org. That's where you can access the guide and you can request a guide. When you request the guide, there are people that come out and give you a little overview of it. Is that the way it works?
Right. Oh, my gosh. We've just been totally blessed by the response of churches. Gabby's taken some of those. She's going to share them in her workshops. But we really like sitting down one-on-one. In fact, in a couple of weeks, we are meeting with 13 Catholic priests up in Española and giving them the guide, providing them the resources. Honestly, I think that people are just not aware that there are so many resources available to help.
Right now, if you're part of Islamic Church or you're part of a you know, universal church, somebody that doesn't necessarily sell, share a Christian ideology, you want to provide this to them as well, right?
We absolutely do. This is definitely an interfaith endeavor because, as we mentioned, 1 in 4 people sitting in those houses of worship are living with a mental illness and could be possibly ashamed to talk about it. And if we want to try to help people, we need to be able to open the conversation.
If you haven't been through the crisis intervention training, reduce suicide ideation, think 3-2-1, the next workshop is September 21st, and you can find out information if you contact us here. In fact, if you want to email me, jim@abqconnect.online, I'll make sure I email back the information. But you can also go to these various websites that we've pointed out. On February 21st through the 22nd, there's going to be an Empower workshop at New City Church, and that'll be a really powerful thing. That's put on by Mercy Multiplied, neat ministry that we've had on. You may remember Lila Armstrong and Jody Hicks and others that we've had on from that organization, really serving a lot of people and trying to encourage people, particularly women, and empower them as to what God has for them and callings upon their lives. So there's a lot more we're going to get to have to. I wish we had another hour, but we only have 15 minutes left. So when we come back, we're going to kind of talk about some of the training, some of the things, maybe some examples that you guys can share with people that have gone through the training. And maybe you have an intervention story you could share with us and somebody that's actually benefited from all the things that we're talking about. We'll be back on ABQ Connect right after these messages. I'm in studio today. We're talking about mental health. We're talking about suicide prevention. Desiree Woodland, Gary Villa, and Gavi are in studio with us, and they all have different ministries and different perspectives on, well, they have common perspective, but they serve in a different way, and I'm amazed by all three of you and what you're doing. We're going to start this segment with, what is the wrong thing to say to somebody that might be considering taking their own life? Desiree, I'll start with you.
Sure. I mean, I think we don't realize how important words matter and the narrative that we tell as believers. To say some of these things might just be, that's, people aren't going to talk that they're feeling those feelings if they hear words such as, just pray harder and read your Bible more. And I think that misunderstanding is that we view mental health condition as just we think it's a spiritual problem when it's actually a physical problem as well. And we only provide maybe a scriptural band-aid to someone who's struggling when they actually really could benefit from treatment such as medication or counseling.
Can I intervene real quick?
Yes.
Gavi, would you say to somebody as part of your training that if they know somebody is possibly considering taking their own life, that you need to be with that person?
Absolutely. You should never leave a person alone.
Well, and I'm just thinking, there's so many, I think about the scripture, I can't think of the verse right now, but it's talking about, I think it's in James, where there are people in need of food and different things, and a so-called believer says, oh, well, you know, go to your home now and be comfortable or whatever.
Yeah, God bless you.
Be warm. God bless you. Yeah, be warmed and filled. And instead of meeting their need.
Absolutely.
And I'm so much thinking about, that's what we need to be ready to do for people. I don't care if you got to have them sleep over at your house, or you got to be at their home, or you got to take them and you know, have coffee with them for 6 hours, just trying to love them and care about them, because, you know, this is very important stuff. So go ahead and
all right,
down your list.
So the others are some words, crazy, psycho, off his rocker. People think that having a mental illness is using those words. And that just keeps perpetuating the stigma that we've all talked about so much. They could say things instead of, he's schizophrenic. He is a person who has schizophrenia. So putting the person first, because they're not the illness. We don't say he is heart disease or whatever, right? So that's really important too. Can I share an anecdotal story?
Please.
I read once of a pastor who told the whole congregation that he'd lived next to the loony bin And one of the little girls in the congregation looked at the floor when everyone laughed, and she said, "They didn't know how I loved my mama. I wanted to stand up and reach through my pain and say what Jesus said in the Bible. It is not for those who are healthy who need a doctor, but those who are sick. And he offers his compassion and loving touch often through us." So when we know not to use words like that or to view them through that narrow lens, but through the love of Jesus, that's really important. Another one is committed suicide, and it's so common to hear those words together. Instead of saying committed, you can say died by suicide. Commit is a word used when referencing crime or sin. And losing a struggle with mental illness is, in fact, not a crime. Until we learn to talk about suicide without judgment, we can't do anything to prevent it. And then the last one, suicide is selfish. And truly, there is nothing selfish about someone who is on fire on top of a building and the choice is to jump or to burn. Hmm. And so that person was not provided, just like my son, right? The medication, the treatment was not available because we didn't believe that mental illness was real. And he did believe that there was not an answer to his anguish. And saying that does not condone suicide, but neither should it be judged, because that's God's business. So those are those things that I think are really important that we know if we're going to talk about mental health in the context of church. We want to be able to encourage people to come to us for help and not already think that there's judgment instead of help.
And again, we can't cover all the details about each of these resources, but there are other resources, aren't there, available to people in addition to the ones we've already mentioned.
Right. And I did want to mention the Survivors of Suicide. We have 8 meetings a month. We have 2 moms groups meetings, and these are for people who have lost someone to suicide. And, you know, we comfort one another, we share, just listen. You know, the gift of presence after a loss is hugely important. And you've already given that website. So do you want me to give
it? Yeah, give it again.
SOSABQ.org. And we welcome everyone. It's not a faith-based support group, but there's plenty of people who have experienced loss and have faith and are there as well to participate and to share and to help. I also wanted to mention one program called Sanctuary Mental Health Ministries, and it is an 8-week free video program with a discussion guide, and that link is actually on the Coalition website as well. But it is the most gentle, beautiful way to learn about mental health conditions from people of faith. There are pastors sharing their stories. There are people with lived experience, and then the discussion. So, and it's free. Yeah. So if churches want to participate in having someone who could just facilitate that program, I highly recommend it. Gary had shared that with us before, and it has proven to be really amazing. And I'm doing a dry run at my house right now before I do it for my church in September for Suicide Awareness Month.
Nice. I like that. Gary, I can't help but think people that are Bible teachers, people that are pastors, people that are deacons, other kind of lay leadership positions, men or women, seem in some ways to be isolated, especially if they are fighting mental illness issues. They're already isolated because, you know, they don't want sin to be perceived. So, again, I pray for all of you. I wish we had more time. I'm so grateful that you all were here, and I hope people will reach out to us. If you have questions, email me, jim@abqconnect.online. Thank you all for joining us today.